This is the Mr. Vincent Podcast. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, episode 141. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope your day's off to a good start so far. We made it. We're seeing another weekend. Blessed is an understatement. The NBA playoffs are in full swing. And of course, this episode focuses on just that. Now, I did record this episode yesterday in the evening prior to all the games that transpired last night. And includes my Lakers, who are now down 3-0 against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. It's so sad. Bad time to be a Lakers fan right now, but it's kind of what I expected for the most part. I thought the Lakers could take one game. I would have been satisfied if they got one, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I think Saturday the brooms will come out. But I did touch on every series that's going on so far. So overall, it's a pretty good podcast, and you can actually check it out right now. Here it is. All right, so this is being recorded on Wednesday evening prior to the game slated tonight. We got a lot of game threes tonight. So I'll talk about the first game, the nightcap game tonight between the Nuggets and the Lakers. Nuggets lead 2-0 in the series after a instant classic, a thriller, in which the Denver Nuggets did win game 2, 101-99. Jamal Murray with the crazy buzzer beater over Anthony Davis with a clean step back and fadeaway. Then falling in the lap of his bench, and the crowd in Denver just erupted. It was definitely a great game, but if you're like myself, as a Lakers fan, yeah, you were a little pissed off and deflated yet again, because this is now 10 times in a row that the Lakers have not been able to get a victory over the Denver Nuggets in the last 10 meetings, dating back to December of 2022. That game, they had it. I'm not going to say necessarily that they had it, but as a fan of the Lakers, you just felt like they had it and you thought that they should have won because they were up by as much as 20 early in the third quarter. But let's face it, today's NBA, a 20-point lead doesn't really mean much with how fast the game's played, how many three-pointers are taken. A lead can evaporate in seconds, right? In the blink of an eye, essentially, a lead can disappear. That's what happened with the Lakers. Nuggets just found their groove in the second half. I think the game changed essentially when Anthony Davis picked up his fourth foul, kind of halfway or close to the end of the third quarter. Because from there, they had Rui guarding Nikola Jokic, and the Joker just went crazy. He did whatever he wanted. He could not stop him, as opposed to Anthony Davis, who did a pretty good job on Joker all night, guarding him and getting buckets. So by the time that Anthony Davis entered back into the game, the Nuggets did, putting Aaron Gordon on him, and they got away from the two-man game that was working all night with him and LeBron. The Nuggets had no answer, and again, they just elected to get away from that in game two, and I think that's the big reason why the Lakers lost that game. They had a big game from D'Lo. D'Lo hit a record 7 threes for a Laker in a playoff game, and that's coming off just disappointing game 1, where a lot of Lakers fans were just fed up with him. Charles Barkley even said that he was being made out to be the scapegoat after his performance in game 1. But let's face it, he wasn't good, but he came to play. He had about 7 threes. So they got that. LeBron played at a high level on both ends of the court. We all know it. Age 39, year 21. How the hell is he still doing this? Well, he was doing it on both ends of the court. Again, Anthony Davis has been spectacular through these first two games. Anthony Davis, for the first two games, is averaging 32 points, 12.5 rebounds, and just a little less than 3 blocks a game in the first two games so far. So you couldn't ask anything more from your top two guys, but they still find themselves in this 2-0 hold, and that's kind of... that's definitely demoralizing, especially since Jamal Murray, who I mentioned did hit that tough game winner over AD in game 2. He hasn't really been playing well at all in the series so far. He's shooting He shot 9 for 24 in both games, both one games one and two. And in game two, he was 0 for 5 from 3-point range. So you get big contributions. Well, your stars are playing like stars so far in this series, right? Big games. D'Lo, a supporting cast member, had a big game in game two, and you still find yourselves down 2-0 to the defending champions. And you just thinking to yourself, what can we do? What can change? I don't know what can change, honestly. I don't think anything can change. I picked the Denver Nuggets to win this series in five. I didn't think that there could be another sweep again, coming off of last year's Western Conference Finals. But that's certainly in play right now, because I thought the best game that they could have won, or rather, that best chance to win a game in the series, I initially thought was going to be game one. You know, Denver hadn't played since Sunday, so that's essentially a week off. The Lakers just had a play-in game in which they defeated the Pelicans to secure that spot, the seventh seed to play Denver. So I thought, hey, if there's any game that they can win, you can steal this game. And they were up by double figures in that game too as well, and they ended up losing. So I'm thinking, okay, this probably is going to be a sweep. Maybe it can be a sweep, but I had no idea that they were going to be in the position that they were in game two, where, again, I thought that D'Angelo Russell had just lost all his confidence, but he didn't. He balled. He had about 5 points in the second half, but he did enough in the first half to redeem himself with Laker Nation. But they are just down in this hole. And now we can hope, if you're a Lakers fan, you can hope that a change of scenery back to LA. Hopefully the script is different, but it hasn't been, but it doesn't look like it's gonna change per se. Because the Denver Nuggets, I don't think they have even been playing their best basketball yet. They shot about, like, I think 29% from three in game two as well. So they didn't shoot well from three. Your second best player hasn't been playing well, but the others have stepped up, like KCP, who didn't really play well in game two, but game one he was good. Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., who was the second best player for the Nuggets on game two, with that big clutch three that tied the game with about a minute and like 5 seconds left, I believe, when Aaron Gordon made that hustle play to get the ball from going out of bounds and found Porter for the three. So that was huge. Michael Porter has been playing well so far in both games, but the Lakers just don't have that guy that's going to contribute. Austin Reeves has been a relatively a letdown this series, and this is coming off of a pretty damn good Western Conference Finals last year. Where he played well, and he's able to secure the bag after that playoff run that they made last year. But in these playoffs, it's like he just regressed, and maybe getting exposed where there wasn't like a lot of tape on him. He kind of snuck up on surprise for a lot of people. But now that, you know, there's tape on him, teams kind of figuring out he hasn't really been doing much. So you're gonna need more from like him. Oh, and Rui Hachimura, he has been bad. On these first two games, hasn't really been doing anything. The Denver Nuggets team, after game one, I texted my man Shells and told him, hey, I don't see anybody beating these guys in seven games, because he told me that he didn't think that they were going to win the championship again this year because they didn't address the fact that they lost Bruce Brown, who was a really, really big key to their success last season and them ultimately winning the championship. His ability to handle the basketball and guard multiple positions, hit a spot up three, that is true. But still, man, this team right here is just a well-oiled machine. Their starting five is the best starting five in basketball. A lot of people would say it's the Celtics. I would say from a talent perspective, Boston is better. But in terms of camaraderie, execution, and familiarity, it's the Denver Nuggets. It's not even close. I literally don't see any team beating them in seven games. The only thing that can get in their way, I think, is if one of the key rotation players somehow was to go down with an injury. That's the only thing that can stop them. The only chance Lakers have is hitting their threes in this series, man. This Denver team, you have to hit threes and execute flawlessly down the stretch, which I don't really have a lot of confidence in that they will be able to do. And I think that the likes of like LeBron and AD have come to that realization, whether they want to admit it or not, that they just aren't good enough to handle the Denver Nuggets. I mean, you've been seeing LeBron bringing up the refs in the series, or rather the playoffs in general, because it did mention the blunders that were on display at the end of that Knicks Sixers game in game two, which that was really, really bad. But I understand LeBron. Yes, that was a bad overturn when that was like late in the third quarter when D'Lo went to the basket. The ball's already out of his hand when he went for a layup. MJ, Michael Porter Jr. tried to swipe for the basketball, ended up coming across his face. So, yes, that's wild. I'm a little confused at why that was overturned. But let's be real. That was not the reason why the Lakers lost this game. If you want to do that, I'm sure there's plenty of missed calls that went against the Denver Nuggets throughout the game. The matter of the fact is the Nuggets were able to sail that game with, a relatively pedestrian, to say the least, Jamal Murray through the first three quarters. It wasn't until the fourth quarter that he started, like, you know, getting in the groove, getting some layups and hitting some mid-ranges as well. This series, I still think the Lakers can pull out, can sneak a game out. It's going to have to be one of these two in L.A. because I think that once they get to Denver, if it's 3-1 heading to Denver, it will be over game five. I don't think the Nuggets want to waste any time, want to get the appropriate rest that they would need for the winner of the Timberwolves and Sun series. Another game that is slated for tonight is going to be the Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. Knicks are, you know, leading the series 3-2 after a controversial win, in which the Knicks won 104-101. We've seen a wild ending in which, watching it live, it didn't look bad, but there was a lot of contact when they were trying to inbound the ball to Maxey. I was thinking that Maxey was just flopping, looking to get a call, and they thought that it was egregious. He tried to get rid of the basketball while on the ground. Next thing you know, the ball gets swung over to DiVincenzo, goes for a three, misses it. Offensive rebound secured by the Knicks. Eventually finds his way back to DiVincenzo for a three. He hits the three to tie the game. And then they essentially walked out of MSG, going up 2-1. 8 points in 27 seconds. That's definitely Reggie Miller-like, what the Knicks did. I can remember Reggie Miller had the infamous, those infamous 3-point shots hitting in a short amount of time as well in MSG. But when I saw the replay, Philly definitely has a gripe. I even seen that Tim Bontemps reported that they were going to file a grievance against the league on the no calls. And then, of course, the 2-minute report came out, I think yesterday, stating how Maxey was fouled on several occasions during that inbounds attempt. And yeah, just a bad look. I mean, we've seen the replay. His jersey was being held for like 3 seconds. He definitely got hit on the way to the floor while he was trying to like go for the ball. And Nick Nurse actually was trying, attempted to call the timeout, but that building was just so loud and just wild. He probably should have just ran all the way on the court and just yelled it out and just signaling a timeout in order to get the rest's attention. But here we are. The Philadelphia 76ers are down 2-0. Joel Embiid, I like his mentality. You know, just saying after the in the post-game interview, saying that they should be up 2-0 and they're going to win the series, whether it's true or not. It's good that your best player is doing that because that can trickle down to the rest of the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, that confidence that they can win this series, that in fact is not over. And they should have that mentality. I mean, Embiid has been playing he's been playing well so far, considering the circumstance that he's dealing with, a bum knee, basically playing on one knee, averaging about, through the first three games, 31.5 points and 9 rebounds per game. Maxey is playing stellar right now, outplaying Jalen Brunson, 34 points a game, 7 assists, and about 5.5 rebounds in the first two games. They have some things that are going well for them. As I mentioned, Jalen Brunson hasn't been playing well at all. He's the best player on the Knicks. Is not playing well. He is shooting under 30% from two and under 17% from three. He's struggling. I think the length and the athleticism that the 76ers possess disrupting him and stopping him from getting in the rhythm. He can't play any worse than that. I would assume that his game's going to pick up come game three this evening. But, you know, it is what it is. If you're a Philadelphia 76ers fan or the Philadelphia 76ers organization, you can look at it going positive heading into game three. You've done a good job of containing the best offensive player on the opposing team. Short travel. It's about a two-hour drive, a little under 2 hours from New York to Philadelphia. Embiid has probably got some treatment around the clock. I would be shocked if he hasn't. He probably got some treatment. And role players play much better at home than they do on the road in the playoffs. And the Sixers are going to need some more contributions from the likes of Buddy Hield and Tobias Harris, who's being paid like he's a max player, but his play thus far in this playoffs does not resemble anything close to being a max player. He's got to play. He got to step up and step to the plate. The Knicks, I have no doubt that they're still going to be scrappy. The likes of DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, they're still going to play. Scrappy and hit some perimeter shots and play defense and make some hustle plays that can possibly help the Knicks advance to 3-0 in the series. But I think this is a game that the Philadelphia 76ers just have to win. You don't want to be down 3-0, because that essentially means that this series is over. If in fact that is the case, that they find themselves down 3-0. You don't want that if you're the Philadelphia 76ers. And then again, this just sucks that Joel Embiid is hurt. But then again, when is he not? I remember when he went down with the meniscus injury and had the procedure. Kendrick Perkins was saying how, I'm pretty sure it was Kendrick Perkins. Yes, it was Kendrick Perkins, that he thinks that the Philadelphia 76ers should shut down Joel Embiid for the rest of the year. Because, you know, you wanted to be healthy for next season. He's never healthy. He literally is dealing with the injury every single playoff run. He's missed some games due to injuries in a playoff run. So, I mean, I think that they did everything that they could in terms of, like, you know, giving him time to recover from the injury, round-the-clock treatment, slowly bringing him back like with like 7 to 8 games left in the season to help ramp up for the postseason. But I mean, he's still hurt. Visibly, you can see that he's in pain. But again, he is playing well. It's just that in the fourth quarter, especially like in game two, he was just settling for jump shots, just fadeaways and everything, not even looking to attack the rim. And he has not recorded a single rebound in the first two fourth quarters of games 1 and 2. So in the fourth quarter of games 1 and 2, my man has a donut in the rebound category. They're probably going to have to get something out of him on the glass in that pivotal time. Also too, Tyrese Maxey was under the weather. I forgot exactly what he was dealing with, but they did mention that he was under the weather. So hopefully he's going to feel better heading into game three, because they're going to need him and his stellar play that he has put forth on display thus far in that series. I had the Philadelphia 76ers winning that series in six. Not really so confident right now looking at it. Looking at what's transpired so far, that means that they're going to have to win 4 in a row. I don't see that happening. But I'll stick with my pick. You know what? I'll stick with it. Philly in six. Another game that's slated for tonight. The Cavs at the Magic, easily the worst series in game one. It's funny too, because it's a 4-5 matchup, but it is what it is. It's not a really entertaining series so far. I just thought that coming into that series that the Cavs have just too much for the Magic to deal with. A young, inexperienced team. You have Banchero, who is a great player, who has a great promising future, but they're just too young, too inexperienced. Donovan Mitchell has been in the playoffs ever since. I don't think he's missed a playoff series yet. I think he's never missed a playoff since been in the league. I know he made it his rookie season when they knocked out OKC while he was a member of the Utah Jazz. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's played every series. He has some experience. The size, there's just too much size for them to deal with Allen and Mobley. And they are taking advantage of that with their size on the boards. The first three games, they are out-rebounding them by their plus 19 on the glass are the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Orlando Magic. And they have so many shooters on the perimeter with Mitchell, Garland, Strauss. The dribble penetration can lead to dish-offs to the bigs and then lead to good looks for the three-point range. It's just too much. I didn't call this to be a sweep. I had about five games that it would go, but that series is just not looking good for the Magic. But hey, they have a bright future. They can build off of this going into next season. Everything happens for a reason, and there's a reason why teams that are really young and inexperienced don't advance far at all in the playoffs. And I think that we're that series so far is a prime example. The Suns and the Wolves. The Wolves will be traveling to Phoenix for Game 3, scheduled on Friday, in which the Wolves are up 2-0 in the series. This series, I had the Suns winning in 6. I just thought that the firepower will be too much that the Suns possess with Bale, Booker, and KD. Boy, was I wrong so far, because they are in the driver's seat right now, the Wolves being up 2-0 in the series. They are up 2-0 in the series for the first time in 20 years, back when they had Kevin Garnett, Sam Cassell, and Latrell Sprewell when they advanced to the Western Conference Finals. That was also KG's MVP year. So kudos to that organization. They got something good here. They are just physically too much for the Suns to deal with. And what's most glaring about this series, looking at it from the Suns' perspective, is their lack of playmaking. The fact that they don't have a true point guard in the series has really come back to haunt them, in my opinion. I think even Greg Anthony mentioned that on the broadcast as well. He shared the same sentiments in Game 2, well, at least on the broadcast for Game 2. They are just taking so many tough shots. You know, they have a lot of great one-on-one players, with the likes of, like, you know, KD and Booker. But in a playoff series where the tempo slows down, it's a half court set. You're going against the best defense in the league, athletes on the perimeter, bigs who can move. Salute to Rudy Gobert, who's probably going to win the Defensive Player of the Year for a fourth time. My criticism with him has always been in the postseason, where teams usually expose him by getting him in pick and roll action, and he's actually doing a good job on the perimeter in this season, on this series right now. He hasn't been necessarily a detriment to the Wolves in that aspect. He's doing his thing, so kudos to him. But then again, if they had a true point guard, would that be the case? Something that can be debated, I think, but anyways, kudos to Rudy Gobert. He's doing his job. They just don't get easy shots. Do the Phoenix Suns take a lot of tough shots? And this all is goes back to Matt Ispia, the new owner of the Phoenix Suns, who took over the team. He took over the team last spring, I believe. And you know, he tried to go for the home run swing instead of, like, you know, building a team out and constructing a team and being, you know, just taking it step by step. Nope, he went for the home run, signing 3 max players. And when you do that in today's NBA, it's really hard to fill out the rest of the roster, and this team just not have the ancillary pieces needed to contend with the likes of the Wolves. Look, Game 2, Anthony Edwards, future star, possibly the future face of the NBA, all-star, probably going to make an All-NBA second team this year. He wasn't efficient at all in Game 2. He had about, I believe he had 15 points in the game. Didn't play that well. He scored 15 points, 3 of 12 from the field. But Jaden McDaniels, who's known for his defense, stepped up big to pick up the slack, scoring 25 points and 10 for 17 shooting from the field. The Wolves just have a team. They have great pieces. Like, can't even emphasize how much Mike Conley means to that team, who was actually drafted the same year as Kevin Durant. he's playing well. He's given that poise, that veteran leadership that this team needs. I always said that Mike Conley was probably one of the top three most underrated players in the NBA in the past 15, 20 years. And I still believe that this guy is, for him to be playing at a high level in like year 17, to be able to contribute on a playoff contending team with championship aspirations, that speaks volumes to him and his, and the hard work that he puts forth rather. Like I mentioned, the Suns are in trouble, and Grayson Allen, who while he hasn't been playing well so far in the series, he did play really, really well in the season, which the Suns did reward him with a I believe it was a 4-year, $70 million extension, well deserved. But he got hurt, and I believe in the third quarter, aggravated ankle injury that he was dealing with. He didn't come back into the game, so. By the looks of it, it doesn't look like he's going to be able to come back for this series. It just sucks. I really, really feel bad for him in that aspect. So I'm like, the Suns were 3-0 against this team in the postseason. I thought that they were going to, just have their way with them offensively, but I was wrong. I thought the Wolves were probably just like maybe a year too early to really like make a deep playoff run, but. Hey, they're here now, and I think the series is over. I know you can say never, but I think the series is over. I don't see them winning four of the next five, the Phoenix Suns, that is. I just think that they have too many holes that have been exposed by the T-Wolves, and I don't know what they can do in the offseason, seeing all the assets that they've given up over the years and the lack of funds that they have. Due to the fact that they have three max players on their payroll, and how they are going to go about navigating free agency to try to bring in some more help, but this team not having a point guard is really, really hurting them. When they said that they wanted to, that they were going to have Booker assume that playmaking role. I knew that it wasn't going to be good. I knew they can win. They're probably going to win a handful of games. They can win at least 50 games, based on the talent that they have. But they needed a real playmaker. And then, of course, that team's injury prone. Well, their top stars are likes of Bradley Beal, KD, at this stage of his career, being in year 17, and with the past injury that he dealt with the Achilles and the Jones fracture. Andrews have taken a toll on him. That team it's hard. I would say that they can possibly win it. They can win a game, maybe two. But it's looking right now, I think that the Wolves are going to go up 3-1 heading back to Minnie and close it out in five. I wouldn't, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet that the series will go six games. I just don't see it happening. The Pelicans are up now in the series after a blowout against the the Thunder are up now 2-0 in their series against the Pelicans as they did blow them out last night, 124-92. This series is fun. That OKC crowd is a great fan base. Those small market teams really don't take their teams for granted and just come with passion and show love all the time to their teams. I mean, this is a franchise that had the likes of Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, and they've seen them all depart without being able to capture a championship. That team could have been set back for decades. That fan base could have just pouted. But they came, they showed love, and now their team, the youngest team in the playoffs, I don't know about the youngest team in the playoffs, but definitely the youngest number one. I said they probably are the youngest number team in the playoffs. I don't think any team's younger than them. But they certainly are the youngest team to ever secure a number one seed. That's crazy. Last night, it was just fun to watch them play. They really restore that feeling that's missing in the NBA. When you watch like other like fan bases not really like, you know, show out and show support and provide like a college like atmosphere that they do in Oklahoma City. SGA was brilliant last night and then getting to a spot, finding a shot. Chet Holmgren doing his thing as a rookie. Well, you know, you can debate if he's really a rookie or not, seeing how last season he sat out, he missed the season for the injuries, but he was able to be around the team and, you know, get some access to the NBA life that a rookie such as like a Victor Wembanyama wouldn't get because they weren't in the league yet. But hey, they consider him a rookie. He's played fantastic last night, finding his shot, protecting the rim, being a disruptor on defense. This team has a lot of potential. I just feel bad for the Pelicans. Zion would have been perfect for the series. The level of physicality, the tenacity he plays with on defense, his ability to get to the basket against the team with OKC, which a lot of people felt like they should have made a move to address how thin they are in the interior, but they didn't do that. Elected to get Gordon Hayward. Who's there? I don't know why they would do that and not get a big, because you know Valanciunas had been doing his thing so far in the series, taking advantage of that small thin interior defense that the Thunder possess. Zion would have helped a lot in the series. It just sucks, but yeah, I don't think he could come back. A hamstring injury, that's tricky. You don't want to mess with those. That's at least a 2-week injury, 2 weeks at least. But you'll probably be looking at 2 weeks to a month in terms of being able to come back. So by then, most of the series will be done. OKC is poised to advance and get to the next round and play the winner of the Mavs and the Clippers. I do think, but like I mentioned, SGA, he's just so good. First team All-NBA this season, without a shadow of a doubt. No way in hell will he not make the first team. My pick for league MVP, a lot of people, I think that Nikola Jokic is going to win his third MVP in the last four seasons. I don't think it's going to be a crime. It's going to be a travesty. But if I had a vote, it would have to be SGA. He's playing ridiculous. He's had a ridiculous season. Only player to do what he did this season outside of Steph and Mike. To score at least, to average at least 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists while shooting 50% from the field. That's some great company to be in, legendary company to be in. And that's the sky is the limit for him. I know the Clippers are kicking themselves or just wishing that they fought a little harder to keep SGA out of that trade for Paul George. Because remember, they had to trade for Paul George in order to guarantee Kawhi signed with them. But so they had a package which included SGA to go to OKC. And again, Sam Presti, who I think is probably the best GM in all of basketball, considering his circumstances and what he's able to do to turn this franchise around. I know he hasn't won a championship yet, but I can say that, hey, if the owner elected to pay James Harden and not break up that young nucleus of KD, Harden, Westbrook, Ibaka, they probably would have had a championship. I think that they were the Golden State Warriors before the Golden State Warriors arrived. So that had nothing to do with Sam Presti. I think that has to do more with ownership. But yeah, SGA is just fantastic. But again, I don't think that he's going to win the league MVP. I think that's going to go to Nikola Jokic. I did have the Thunder winning this series, like, in about 6, it's probably going to go that way. Maybe even go 5. The Pelicans may be able to get a game. But, you know, maybe now they're going to go to the Big Easy. Things are going to change for them. But I just don't see the series being an extended long series. It's too much athletes. They like to push the pace through the Thunder, which leads to exceptional great shots like we've seen last night. By the likes of Lu Dort, Jalen Williams, SGA, and they were just letting it fly last night. Shooting close to 50% from three. And in today's NBA, if you could do that, that's almost for certain that you're going to win the basketball game, seeing how prolific the three-point shot is now. Game 3 is scheduled for Saturday. must win for the Pelicans if they want to make it a series. They're going to have to get something. I know Brandon Ingram is going through things right now. Coming back, came back from injury, this like issue with the contract and everything heading into the offseason. Rumors of him possibly being traded, the Pelicans moving on from him. But he's got to, they need him to play big in this series. And CJ McCollum, too, as well, if they want any chance to win this series. The Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks, that series was the series that I was looking forward to the most heading into the playoffs, just because of the history that these two teams have. This is the third time they're meeting since Luka has been a Mav and since Kawhi has been a Clipper. And now they are now tied series is tied 1-1, heading to Dallas for game three. Luka Doncic is just brilliant on another level. He's a performer. It's a young playoff career, but the facts are facts. He joins Michael Jordan, who most I would say think is the GOAT, as the only two players to average in their postseason career to average 30 points, at least 30 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. That's some damn good company. Now, Luka got a long way to catch Michael Jordan in the all-time ranks, but you can't deny how special he is. He put on a show in Game 2, which helped propel Dallas to a victory. Kawhi did play. Looked like he was a little rusty. Looked a little rusty, but of course he didn't play. It's just late March, early April. That's the first time since he played. With Kawhi, you always want to be take precaution because while he is a fantastic player and the top 15, 20 player in the NBA, I think, you know that if you lose him and he gets injured, your championship aspirations they go out the window. So we a little hobbled, he was trying to get his legs back. And as the game progressed, he found his rhythm. So you're going to wonder how he's going to be heading to Dallas. I think he's going to definitely play better. I think this game right here will determine who's going to win the series. I had Dallas winning in six just because I felt like this is the best team that Lucas had since he has been meeting the Kawhi and Paul George Clippers in the postseason. Because you got to remember, in the bubble year when they lost, I believe it was in six games, KCP was his running mate. Not KCP, I'm sorry. Porzingis was his running mate, and he got injured. I remember that. So I think he missed the final two games. And, of course, they went 7 next time they met in the postseason. KP and Luka just didn't mesh. For whatever reason it was, there were reports that he wasn't happy with the high usage rate that Luka was producing, being very ball dominant. He just felt like an afterthought in the offense. That very well could be true, but it just didn't work out for some reason. But now Luka has Kyrie Irving, who is just a spectacular talent, obviously probably the best ball handler ever in the history of the game, and I think that this is the best he's looked, I would say right now, this season with the Dallas Mavericks, the best he's looked since playing with LeBron. That was a long time ago. Since how many years is that? It's been about, 7 years? It's been a while, right? But he's really, really looking good right now in his role with the Dallas Mavericks, that co-star that Luka desperately needed. Their defense has really picked up too, in their defensive intensity since acquiring PJ Washington and Gafford at the trade deadline. Because Lord knows they needed some defense. Because when your two best players aren't necessarily known as being defensive stoppers, you're gonna need some help on the perimeter, and they addressed that. I felt at the trade deadline, so they closed the season out very, very strong and secure themselves the 5th seed, and now they're playing the Clippers. James Harden didn't play well in this in game 2 after having a great game 1. Surprise, surprise. James Harden, just don't think that you can rely at this point of his career. You can really rely on James Harden to give you an all-star, all-NBA type performance on a night-in, night-out basis in a play in a seven-game series. He's at the stage of his career where he's, like, you know, on past his prime on the way down. Still a great player who can contribute, you know, and do his thing. But that's not gonna be the case, I think, in this series every night. The series very well could go seven games. I had Dallas 6, I said, but I could be wrong. But this series is very entertaining. Paul George has been playing great. Russell Westbrook is that energy, that spark plug that they need at the bench. Happy to see that he is in this role after what he experienced playing with the Lakers. I'm really happy for him. I know he's not on the team that he always rooted for growing up, being an LA native, but he's in a great situation because that situation just wasn't it was very toxic. I don't blame him. He should have never been a Laker to begin with just because he didn't fit with the way that AD and LeBron play. It just didn't make sense. I screamed that to the top of my lungs when that trade happened, and I was right. It didn't make sense at all, but I'm happy to see that he's you know, in this role that he is in right now. Doesn't necessarily have to hit perimeter shots at a high clips. Just got to just provide energy, push pace. He's still great at that and this late into his career. People that talk about LeBron James being a freakish athlete, Russell Westbrook, I don't think, is that far behind. It's kind of crazy just how talented he is still at this late in his career from an athletic standpoint. Another series that we can talk about a little bit is the Boston Celtics, who lost last night to the Miami Heat. Series is tied 1-1, heading back to South Beach, which is crazy to me. Seeing how, well, not necessarily, I want to say crazy, because a lot of people just felt like, you know, Miami Heat injuries to two of their premier offensive players and the likes of Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier, that this shouldn't be a series. Boston, best team in the league by far in terms of seeding and their record. They've been just blitzing teams all year, hitting them with a barrage of three-pointers, locking down on defense. Hey, it should be a sweep. I said to myself, ain't no way in hell that the Miami Heat are getting swept in a series. Not going to happen. Not with Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley there. It's not going to happen. They play too hard. They're well coached. They have poise. And they have familiarity with the Boston Celtics. They just played. I mean, they met this is like the fourth meeting in the last five postseasons or something like that. Coming off game seven last year, in which the Miami Heat went into TD Garden and won. And then the previous year, the Boston Celtics won game seven on Miami's home court. These teams know each other in and out, so it's not really shocking that they won a game. I'm a little more shocked that it happened in Boston and the way in which it happened, in which we saw the Miami Heat not elect to blitz them on defense, but it's like switching everything, not trying to give up like great looks for threes, which kills teams that the Boston Celtics play virtually all season long, which is very hard to contain the Boston Celtics from three. But the Miami Heat were able to do that without Terry Rozier, without Jimmy Butler. Tyler Herro was spectacular last night. Caleb Martin resembled Caleb Martin from last season, who shot from last postseason in the conference finals, when he shot about 60% from the field. After a horrific game one, he stepped it up, and now we have ourselves a series. They are heading to South Beach. If the Boston Celtics lost this series, that would be an embarrassment. I said to myself, Boston Celtics have no excuse to not get to the conference finals. NBA finals. It's NBA finals or bust. I'm not going to say championship or bust because I think that the Denver Nuggets are a well-oiled machine and ain't nobody beating them in four times in seven games. It's just not happening. So, I would say NBA finals or bust for the Boston Celtics. I mean, you can't write a better script than what's been written for them this season. I'm just joking. You don't have to take it literally. You have Joel Embiid, on one leg, trying to play his way and will his team to victory against the Knicks. You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is out with a calf injury. Two of the best, the top two players in the conference aren't available or are limited in this postseason. And you're playing the Miami Heat team without their best player in Jimmy Buckets. So you guys, they really don't have any excuse. This team has been from end to end the best. It was a bookend this season. They were the best team off the gate, and they carried that throughout the rest of the season, winning 64 games. They have Tatum, who was going to be first team all NBA, in my opinion. They have an All Star alongside of them with Jaylen Brown. Porzingis has been a great pickup. Jrue Holiday. You got the best defensive backcourt in the league, and it's not even close with Jrue Holiday and Derek White. You are top heavy. Bench is a little suspect, but it's the playoffs. You don't really need it. I think depth when it comes to the bench is a little overrated. During the postseason, since teams usually go like 7-8 deep, they play their starters heavy minutes. So it is what it is, that their bench is a little slim. But yeah, this team has no excuse. I don't see the Miami Heat winning the series, but if they were, wow, it would be one of the biggest letdowns, the biggest upsets in recent memory. A team that has rivals some of the most historic teams in terms of like efficiency this season as the Boston Celtics. If they were to lose in the first round, forget about like not like making it to the NBA Finals, but losing in the first round to a team, an eighth seed without his best player, that is going to be that would be troublesome, and I would imagine that there would be some moves made within the organization in the offseason. But that being said, I don't think that's going to happen. Boston just has too much talent. Miami was clicking from three; they were on fire. I don't think that's going to carry over to Game Three. I thought the Herald looked great. I mentioned Bam, I think, is still going to play fantastic, but I just don't see that's going to that they're going to lose this series. I expect Boston to win Game Three and then probably close them out, I would say, in six. I'm at five, but I'm going to go with six right now because I didn't think that the Heat were going to lose, win a game in Boston, let alone Game Two. So I think they'll get one of these two games at Miami, possibly. I'm thinking Game Four. Boston wins Game Three. Another series we have in the East is going to be the Pacers and the Bucks. Series tied 1-1 right now. I mentioned Giannis isn't playing, which sucks for the Milwaukee Bucks, who just had a letdown of a season. Well, that would be an understatement. It was probably worse than a letdown, considering the fact that they traded for an all-star caliber player, a top 75 NBA player, whether you agree with it or not. Damian Lillard was added to the top 75 anniversary team. So you have that. Traded for, now they did lose Jrue Holiday in the process, and nobody thought that their defense was going to be the same. But my God, had their defense been atrocious this season. Which resulted in the firing of a young rookie coach, and Adrian Griffin. Insert Doc Rivers. They look good in early on. Then they start struggling. Giannis gets hurt, and here we are. They're playing in a series with a team that's had their number for the season. And it's just like, I can't see Pascal Siakam went off in Game Two. I just can't see a scenario in which the Bucks pull this off. There's no way in hell that Giannis is going to come back for this series. I know the competitor that Giannis is. I can only imagine that he definitely wishes he's out there. But I would think that he would try to attempt to come back in this series. But if I'm the owner, the organization, the Bucks organization, I am sending Giannis out and letting him know that, hey, listen, fella, we appreciate everything you've done for this organization. We appreciate your desire to come and help this team make another championship run. But we can't risk it. We cannot have you play in this series because calf injuries are tricky. Remember, 2019. 2019. Kevin Durant injures his calf in the playoffs. Missed about several weeks. Comes back into the NBA Finals. I think it was game four when he looks to come back. And in the first quarter, tears his Achilles. That was the same leg that he had the calf injury with. So it's very, very tricky with calf injuries. You want to be careful. And it would look a lot different, Giannis coming off a calf injury, rather an Achilles injury, as opposed to Kevin Durant, because the way they play. Kevin Durant is a scorer, as a shooter, who, you know, he operates. He's a shooter who got handled, he can shoot, gets to a spot. He has had the best story of a player coming back full strength after suffering an Achilles injury. I've never seen anything like it. But at the same time, I knew when once Kevin Durant went down with that injury, I said, he's going to be back 100%. There's no way, because his game isn't based on athleticism. It's not predicated on it. He's athletic, but his style of play, he doesn't need to be athletic or put that on display. Whereas Giannis, who plays downhill, who's attacking the basket, constantly attacking the basket, who can't necessarily shoot, doesn't have a reliable perimeter shot, it's going to look a lot different. So if I were the Bucks organization, I would just say, hey, if we take this L, we have legit excuses. We hired a coach midseason. Our best player got hurt like a week prior to the playoffs starting. Let's just take this L and regroup, retool in the summer, come back next season. That's what I would do, because I just think that they are done. They're old, man. They're old on the perimeter. I mentioned, like, they had Dame, Middleton, even Brook Lopez. They're all getting up there at age. Outside of Giannis, that core is relatively old, and no one really defends on that team. They're on the perimeter. They get blown by easily. I just don't see a world where the Milwaukee Bucks win this series. I just think that they should just, sit it out and let everything play out as it's going to be. I mean, obviously they're going to try to win a series, but I just don't see that can realistically transpire. So I think I touched on just about all the series going forward for these games. Overall, I've been surprised. I'm not surprised. I've been satisfied with the playoffs so far. That night, those game twos with the Sixers and the Knicks, and then the Lakers and Nuggets, that was a great night. Very, very, very exciting night for the NBA. Hopefully, we get some more this weekend. Let's make sure I did touch on everything I wanted to touch on prior to end of this podcast. I definitely did touch on all the series. It's great. All right, that is it. And that is it for this episode. I thank you guys for listening. And if you're new to this pod, hope you enjoyed, and also hope that you stick around for the journey. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. You can find this podcast just about everywhere you listen to your favorite pods at. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms as well. My YouTube channel, subscribe to that as well. Mr. Vincent. Again, that YouTube channel is Mr. Vincent, where this pod will be up relatively soon. And IG, the Mr. Vincent Pod, where you can keep up with this podcast as well and find some clips of this pod, which will be up relatively soon as well. If you want to follow me, my personal page, IG and X, at Mr. Vincent 13. Again, that is at Mr. Vincent 13. So that's all the time I have for now. We have a lot of games slated for this weekend. My next episode what I'm going to do is put the episode out every Friday going forward for the NBA playoff season. But you never know. I may be able to sneak in an episode or two prior to that. But be on the lookout for the next episode, certainly on Friday next week. You guys, enjoy your weekend. Whatever you do, please do it responsibly. Stay blessed. Take care. Stay safe.